I plugged everything in. Everything is a go.
Everything is go.
Everything is going. Everything is going right now, as in we're live to the new Crippled System episode 257, the one after the anniversary. Yep. My name is Andy.
And I'm Dave. And
I am not paying attention to my phone.
What? What's happening? Oh, no.
257. That's 2 to the 8 plus 1. I mean, it's not quite a potential Mersenne. It's not quite a Mersenne number, which is 2 to the n minus 1. It's 257 a prime.
And we just lost everyone already.
Hello.
Hi.
What?
Hi.
Yeah.
Well, 2 plus 5 is 7, and then that's another 7, so that's there's the numbers 7 and 7, so it's divisible by 7.
2 plus 2 sevens. Plus 1 okay. plus 1.
That's how that works.
Wait.
2 plus 5 minus 7 is 0.
2 plus 2 plus minus 1.
Wait, no, 250.
Even if you're right, that's 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 1.
257 isn't divisible by 7, because that would mean 250 would be divisible by 7.
No, see, if you add 2 plus 5, so you got 257,
yeah.
And you add the 2 and the 5, that's a 7.
Yeah.
And then you have 7 and 7, and so obviously it's divisible by 7 because it's made up entirely of 7s. That's how that works. True story. happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yay.
I mean, post-Thanksgiving.
It is a post-Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So most of us are a little tired. There's a Packer game going to be happening in about an hour, so.
Yeah.
I mean, the Packers suck all of the balls.
Yeah, but they could possibly win this game and still be in contention to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Right, I mean, the 3-8 Giants are still alive. So,
well, because that division sucks.
Yeah.
Even more so than the NFC Central.
Yeah.
Or
NFC North.
NFC North. Yeah. Fuck, that just showed how old I am.
But also, I mean... But I mean, come on. I mean, we do have like a listener outside of Wisconsin, so they might be listening to the podcast instead of watching the Packers game.
Watch a Packer game.
Nobody watches the Packers game.
I watch at least half of the Packers game, because then I go into my third quarter nap, because that's basically what McCarthy tells his team to do during the third quarter is. Just take a nap, guys. We got this.
You're up by one. Stop playing.
Yeah. We're good. And then lo and behold, suddenly the Packers are down fourth quarter and they have to surge to come back. Sometimes they do it and it's exciting. Most of the time they don't.
Yeah.
And it's not as exciting.
I'm glad the Packers suck this year, so it makes it easier to not give a shit about the NFL.
Well, I'm also glad, too, that the Packers suck this year, because finally they'll get rid of McCarthy.
No, they won't. They'll fire everybody else except for him, like they do every year that we suck. Because they refuse to admit that he's the problem.
He is the goddamn problem.
Because there had to be some sort of deal with the devil for a team to have Brett Favre as a quarterback and then promptly replace him with Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, I have to assume that just part of that deal involves employing Mike McCarthy.
Right? Yeah. Fuck Mike McCarthy.
Well, to be perfectly honest, now we're back into the time of worshiping Brett Favre, but during the time where... Favre, he didn't want to practice. He didn't want to do anything other than come and play the normal games. Of course, that would have probably just been fine. I would have been fine with that.
Fuck.
No.
Because he was still a good player when he left.
Yeah. I mean,
he did well at the Giants or at the Vikings. At the Jets.
No, he didn't do terribly well at the Jets. He did great with the Vikings for the first year.
He was also injured for most of the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets. He was injured, and the Jets didn't actually report his injury.
I was fully Team Rodgers by the time Favre left, because you can always say I'm retiring. No, I'm not. I'm retiring. I'm not. Like eventually, it's like, you know what, buddy, you're great. I mean, we love you, but we can't do this dance anymore.
But yeah, that's the reason why, is because he didn't want to have to go through spring camp every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
which,
I mean,
which makes sense. I mean, he's old.
No, I mean, it's a situation, because you had Aaron Rodgers who had been a backup for Favre for 3 years, and Aaron Rodgers was the future of the franchise and should be starting at some point. And they were just in a situation where, I mean, it sucks because you've got your first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, but it's best for the team if you let the new guy take over at that point anyway.
Right. Because he's going to have to eventually. So yep. That trigger.
Yeah.
Yep.
And God damn it, Favre should have gotten a second Super Bowl that year with the Vikings when they lost in overtime to the Saints. Mm-hmm. And that season, the Saints head coach got suspended for being a shithead for the whole season. Yeah. And their defensive coordinator got suspended indefinitely for being an extra bonus shithead.
Yeah. Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm fine with that too, because the more times that Minnesota loses, the better it is. Because, I don't know, I think it's great when they haven't won a Super Bowl yet.
Yeah, well, fuck them.
Hey, but anyway, do we have any War Machine events coming up? I know that there is a Toys for Tots event that's happening December 8th down in Indianapolis. I don't have the full details. I know that it's a team event, a three-member team event. I originally wanted to go, but all the talks here fizzled out about creating a team.
Yeah, I wanted to go, except my wife works every other weekend. And as it turns out, swapping shifts in a hospital on a weekend in December just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know of any events.
There's a Guild Ball event, but it's already sold out. That's December 17th. Second win. My Montauk League kit
came in.
Yeah, you said I get to have one piece of it.
I said that you can pay to be part of the league like everybody else can.
I can pay to
be part of the league. And if it supports up to four players, I might need to get a second kit, because if you and I and Josh and Nick all get in there, then there's no room left for anybody else. So I have to see if there's interest for a second batch of four.
Josh doesn't need anything. He's actually the only person who's really come down and played. So is he? Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know what you mean by doesn't need anything.
No, you, me, Nick, Josh is only four people, so it doesn't matter.
What?
What?
I was saying, yeah. So we
No. But I was. My mind added up to five, and so I was saying one person. Could be cut out of the equation.
I was very confused why you were just like Josh and Ian, like what?
My math in my head confused myself. Okay. What confused you?
Yes. So the point is, we currently have four people that are for sure in on the league, and so I have to see if there's more interest. Because if so, I need to get a second kit. True story.
My shirt doesn't look right.
Sure looks fine.
No. I don't like the overspray on it. It doesn't.
It
looks like he had a perfect layout for it,
like a stencil, and then and just stencil, got sloppy.
And then he went to go try to there was like one part that maybe wasn't just all white, and then his can got clogged.
Yeah, but then the stencil itself doesn't even work, because you can see on the edges there it's not smooth.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It's a garbage shirt. You should just take it off. Shirt.
I should take it off. I can.
Wah, 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 bah, bah,
so Jim from chat asks, when are you running the league? So Tuesdays over at Pegasus Games?
That's when the Monpok and Gilbald meets. I'm not sure when I'm going to actually start the league proper.
Oh, sure.
I might wait a few more weeks. Like, I might wait till the end of the year, so there's a few more weeks where people can just come down, see demos, play casual, and then come the new year, see if there's two, three, four more people that are interested, and then start the league. But we're definitely not starting it, 2 days from now or the week after. And at that point, I might as well wait until after Christmas.
Yeah. I almost wish that there was just, I understand that there's, at least two monsters per faction right now. Mm-hmm. I almost wish that there's, isn't there? No. Isn't there two?
No.
There's three for
every, no. Not every faction has two. In fact, I think so far all the factions only have one.
For the big guys? No. No, the Martian Menace has got their mothership is. Mm-hmm. Is that's that out? One. That's out.
That's one.
Then Cthugrash is out.
Oh, you mean agenda.
Agenda. Yes, yes.
You mean agenda,
not faction.
Yes. Yeah. There are three big guys for each agenda.
Yeah.
But because each agenda has three factions, each of which has one monster, and the second big guy for each faction is coming out, Shadow Sun Syndicate, I know the Cthulhu's. Theirs has been shown. I don't know what order they're coming out in.
Who's his Cthulhu's?
The big fat guy.
Yasheth?
No, maybe. I don't know.
Cthugrash is the big one. Yasheth.
No, because I know that the second Cthulhu one is the most expensive of the monsters because he's physically bulky.
I'd have to look at him.
And so he's based on weight. But yeah, because the Martians are getting Deimos 9, but I don't know when he actually comes out, but yeah, so far each agenda has three big guys.
Yeah. But sorry. I'm all sorts of confused today.
Yeah, you keep blowing my mind with your... You're just saying things that are wrong, but are just close enough to right that they fuck with me.
I should probably drink some more.
2 + 5 = 7. Divided by 7 is 1. So then it's a prime number. But 1's not a prime number. So 257 isn't by that logic. We figured it out.
2 + 1 +...
Yesheth. Yeah, it's Yesheth is the...
No, he is not... Kuthugrash is technically... Yesheth...
That's what people were saying, because people were complaining about the cost of him, because he costs like $35 or something compared to the other monsters being 20 or 25, and people are saying that he's physically heavier than the rest of them, because that's how PP prices stuff.
It's Kuthugrash. With Yesheth, you could see his feet, at least.
Yeah.
Kuthugrash, you can't.
Right.
Which is weird.
I got nothing.
Making noises with a fucking pen now, too. I'm annoying myself. Are you excited? Are you going to help me build the new studio downstairs?
Downstairs?
Yeah.
In the basement?
Yeah.
It's cold down there.
No, it's nice down there.
Ooh.
It's been cold. What?
257 is a Fermi prime. It is a prime number of the form 2 to the 2 to the n plus 1 for n equals 3.
Okay. Is it happy?
It is not a happy number.
Does it actually say there, or are you just assuming?
Because I'm just assuming because it doesn't say it's happy, and there aren't very many happy numbers.
Yeah, but are you looking at 257. You're not looking at prime numbers. Yeah, it would have mentioned if it was a happy number.
What's a happy number?
You square each digit, and then you add all of those together, and then you do that again, and you keep doing it, and eventually it'll end up being...
Oh, because it has a little thing underneath it?
No.
Oh.
And then eventually it'll end up being 1 or looping. And if it loops, it's not happy. If it ends up at 1, it's happy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think, if I'm remembering it clearly. I don't think there's a step I'm forgetting.
I mean, it is possible that maybe Yesheth is made out of just pure copper. And that's probably why he's why he's so expensive now. Yeah, he's not really that fat of a big guy, though. That's kind of the weird part.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Square the digits and then add those together and keep doing that until it loops or becomes one.
Desperately trying to pull us off of prime number talk.
That's not prime number talk. That's happy number talk. Big difference. Big difference.
We will be looking for a happy prime number soon, because 263
yep.
is happy and prime.
Yep. And then so it's 293.
That sounds like a great, great number to stop this podcast at.
And what's interesting is that because of the way that you check for happy, you can, so any three-digit number that includes the digits 2, 6, and 3, or 2, 9, 3, like, because the digits make it happy, right?
Okay.
So 2, 6, 3, 6, 2, 3, 3, 2, 6, 3, 6, 2, all of those are happy prime, provably, because it doesn't matter what order those digits are in.
Hmm. Okay.
So 263, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so 326 at the very least, if not sooner.
293.
290, yeah, I was going to say, I think 9 would still work too. Oh, yeah.
Then 313.
Yeah. And then you can rearrange those to be 313 again, then but with the other three.
331 is also happy and prime.
Well, sure, because 313 was. Mm-hmm.
You have lofty goals if you think we're making the 331.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's all my announcements, is that those are all happy numbers.
I really don't have any much of announcements either, other than ATC. That's happening still.
Yes. You have to
get your team signed up.
Correct.
Over at ATCWMH.com.
So how many teams do we have signed up so far?
Excellent question.
I'm supposed to vamp for this time period here while you look it up. Also, when is Wislock? Is that 2 weeks before?
Yes.
Okay. I got one step further in my quest to get my passport, which I thought was going to be a very difficult part of the quest. I had to go get my birth certificate, and since I'm adopted, I didn't think that it would be very easy for me to get my birth certificate, and it turns out it's not the case. Even the website originally said it would take like about 2 to 3 hours if I went down to court records to pick it up. I showed up at court records and or the vital records at the courthouse, and they're like, nah, it'll take 20 minutes.
But yeah, ATC registration is open until the 17th of December, so it's coming along.
Yep.
There it is. The thing's been rearranged. Currently 15 teams, yep. But if the previous years are anything to be seen by, there's a lot of people still scrambling to decide if they have teams.
Yeah, all of this, and especially like the list submission, is 50% of it is in the last like 6 hours that it's open.
Yes. True story.
Yeah. And also, even if you don't have a team, you should come and hang out because it's a great get together, and we have a ton of people from the greater community showing up and hanging out and playing games that are in addition to War Machine. So it is getting to be a party on the scale of not quite the level of War Machine Weekend, but we have a lot of people and a lot of hanging out and drinking going on in addition to just strictly War Machine playing.
I mean, I agree with that, but it'd be like if War Machine Weekend was only the LCQ.
Sure.
And if we had more events at the
ATC, it's not on the same scale, but there's a party attached to a tournament as well.
Sure. Yeah. Which I mean, any good gaming tournament is such a thing.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll get in there. We'll have side events again eventually. But for now, we've paired back to just the team event, and as we keep working on. I know we were trying to see if we could last minute make a change to this year, but I think we won't be able to. But starting next year, the cost of the event should drop precipitously. We're still checking on doing it this year, but no promises. But starting next year, that should be a big difference in cost, which should drive attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything that's a little bit cheaper will definitely help. Yeah, out.
And it'll be a lot a bit cheaper.
And that's is it food related?
Yes.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yep. But yeah. So for now, you got another not quite a month, like 3 weeks, I guess, so before list or before registration locks up. So if you're still working on a team, get on that action.
Yep. And beer. I don't have much else to say.
It's just random noises.
Nope.
Yeah. Just been a very busy couple days. You had family over for for the Thanksgivings. I had some people over for my Thanksgivings.
You had people over?
People over, yep. Yes. Yep.
I remember people.
Yep.
We didn't have any family over, but I have solved the problem of getting into political arguments at Thanksgiving by losing contact with most of my family.
Yeah,
it's probably a good way to go.
Yeah.
Did you see that Privateer had their another mystery grab box?
Yeah, it's more expensive, but you get more. So percentage-wise, like return on investment, it's about the same ratio.
Probably just a little bit less because it was about 60 for 250, and then it's 120 for 400.
Sure. Okay, so it is slightly less.
Slightly less, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be jumping onto that. That train at all.
Sure.
I just bought a new computer, so it's that train has sailed.
Yeah. I need to get a new computer eventually. True story. Yeah. I know you're fast.
Did you guys get anything over Black Friday at all?
No, I didn't leave the house. Fuck Black Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, Black Friday isn't really a thing anymore. It's like everything has their sales, and it's like either ending the week's ending on Black Friday or the week starting on Black Friday. So it's like you're not even going to get any videos of the event to make you lose even more faith in humanity because it's just not a thing
anymore.
You're
still doorbuster people.
But that's mostly online.
Did you see the video
now of
the bear, the guy that was dressed in the bear costume that attacked the the camper
is video, but I saw
this. This is the hero for our times.
Yes.
I don't know if there was a video, but I saw a posting on it.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, I saw a retail Facebook friend who was like, remember, be extra nice to the people at the store if you go out shopping on Thanksgiving or when you go out shopping on Thanksgiving. I'm like, no, fuck being nice to people when I go shopping on Thanksgiving. What I should really do is not go shopping on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's... It's just,
I told me the script I gave you, because people go in there and they're like, oh, I can't believe they make you work on Thanksgiving. It's like, they don't make me work on Thanksgiving, Becky.
You do.
You are making me work on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Your stupid ass came in here,
yep.
Asshole.
Yeah, it was your wife worked like worked like 28 hours in a day.
No, it was going to be a 39-hour shift, and then I browbeat her into browbeating her boss into sending her home after only 18 hours.
Yeah. That's,
and then coming back 6 hours later to work 12 hours.
And it's also coming back from an hour away, too. So, I mean, it's not actually getting remotely enough sleep.
Correct.
Yeah, no, it's a problem. I mean, I understand businesses want to make money, but you don't need to really.
It's just stop participating and it'll die out.
Correct.
You know, it's a savage practice that you are feeding.
Yes.
It's like buying tickets to go to watch a bullfight. Well, don't. If it's not profitable, they'll stop torturing bulls to death.
Yeah. Do they do that on Black Friday?
You know, it's probably more humane.
on Thanksgiving. Yeah. I just went out on Black Friday. I go out to one store. I go to the Target that's down the street. If there is a ton of people, I leave. I usually go in like the afternoon.
Pick up cheap games. Doorbusters.
Yeah. Well, I still picked up cheap games.
Like if not anything else, there's like they're online now, right?
Yeah, it's all online. I mean, my Black Friday shopping was I found this PlayStation deal is a Black Friday deal, and I went to Target and I said, hey, and it's like this is the Sony deal, and it's like do you have that price? And he's like, well, I don't know, let me check. He scanned it and it's like, yeah, we got that price. It's like, cool, thank you.
Even the doorbuster stuff, like you can go on BestBuy.com and say, I want that, and then they stick it in a corner with your name on it, and then you mosey in at noon.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree with that. Yeah. Well, I just went down. Well, mainly, I left the house because I needed more soda. I underestimated how much soda I would drink the day before, so I had no soda in the house.
Necessities of life, yeah.
Yeah, so I went out to get soda, and I ended up coming home with New Colossus, the Wolfenstein 2 game.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I promptly bought the New Order,
sure.
And the prequel on my PS4.
Fuck you, Moon. Spoilers, that's a line from the games that shows how amazing those games are.
Which, oddly enough, are from Bethesda.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as the publisher, not as the programming. Correct. I mean, that's the difference is there's publisher as a developer or as the publisher saying, mm-hmm. Here, you guys develop a game. Same with New Doom. It's a Bethesda game, but not really. They just paid for it. Yeah, they paid for it. They didn't make it, which is why it isn't a buggy pile of shit. Same with the Wolfenstein. It's not actually by Bethesda.
But it is a publisher that will take that risk and actually put out a... Because they're not a publicly traded company, so they will take that risk and put out a single-player game as compared to a lot of the other AAA companies won't do that.
So, like, Bethesda...
Bethesda will put out a single player.
Who will put out Fallout 76?
Well, Fallout 76 is a different story. I mean, okay. they're taking a risk on their own selves with that because they're thinking like, "Hey, the world will make it fun."
Bethesda will stick with single player games, unlike Bethesda, who chases the dragon and makes multiplayer online games.
It's that game is probably going to be awesome in a year.
I mean, at least they are releasing AAA titles that are something other than loot box delivery systems.
Yeah,
sure. They did put those into Fallout 76.
Yeah, oh, okay. You can. When I was going through the fucking
the last actual Bethesda developed game I played was Skyrim.
Sure,
but that may have. I mean, although it has come out like it has had like
the last
six 14
releases they've done have been Skyrim.
Yeah,
but so when I was going through the Black Friday sales on the PS4,
yeah.
It was kind of annoying to see like. Oh, look, there's Call of Duty and Call of Duty points, Call of Duty points, Call of Duty points, Call of Duty points. Oh, look, there's Fallout 76 and Fallout 76 points, Fallout 76 points, NBA 2K, blah, blah, blah. I don't like when you have to buy... For some of those games, you have to buy the currency out of game in order to actually progress at a meaningful level.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Unless you just really like... Grind, which no.
At least the Steam sale is going on right now, so I keep getting notifications that games I want are on sale. Although the game I really want isn't currently on sale, but fingers crossed, I put it on my watch.
What is it?
Talk about it when we come to recommendations.
Let's go right to recommendations.
All
right,
I recommend The Return of the Obra Dinn.
The what?
The Return of the Obra Dinn. It is the second game by the person who single-handedly developed, created, programmed, et cetera, Papers, Please.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That sound effect. Fuck you, buddy. So.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right. I guess I'm done.
So what is the game about? I'm interested.
Sound effect. Anyway, so as he could take being a passport customs stampy officer and make it into an incredible intrigue, dramatic game of death and chaos and everything, The Return of the Obra Dinn has you as an insurance claims investigator. It is a ship, the Obra Dinn, that returns to port mysteriously after vanishing for 5 years, and everyone on it is dead. And so your job is to explore the ship and figure out how much – you need to figure out how these people died so you know how much their family is entitled to. And there's just all the corpses, and you have all like the ship's logs that you can read through to find out who the people are and information about the people. And then you have a magic stopwatch that takes you – you look at a corpse, and you hit the watch, and you'll go to the instant they died. So you can see that person's death, and you can see everything that's going on around them, like other people shooting and other people going overboard and a kraken tearing a guy in half. Mm-hmm. And using all these different scenes and all this information from the books, you need to piece together –
to calculate how much the death payout is.
And it's and like the death payout and everything is just a an excuse, right, for the exploration and the storytelling and discovering these characters. Because you'll see like the same people all over the place, and you'll see how they relate to each other, and it's just really got that very interesting mechanics, a very interesting art style in that it's monochromatic.
It's monochromatic, and also the screenshots, is it
like, it's not clean.
You is know it what I mean? Is it animated?
You move around and stuff. Like the moments are frozen in time. Like when you look at the moment that somebody died, you don't see like 30 seconds of people moving. It is a still image. So then you will walk around these frozen people and see them and everything, yeah.
Okay, so it is kind of like in a 3D landscape.
Yeah, it is looks, a 3D landscape.
Because all the screenshots look like somebody's sketch drawings.
Correct.
So that's cool in itself.
But it is 3D. It's a first-person game, and you explore, and everything is 3D, okay. Yeah. But the only thing that moves in the game is you, because all the images that you view are frozen, but they're still three-dimensional. You can look at them on all sides.
Very, very similar to Wind Waker. So I feel that the screenshots don't do the game justice.
Yeah, yeah. You're seeing a video of the Obra Dinn.
Yeah, it's I'm very not going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously,
because it's otherwise going to make noise.
But no, it's very interesting. And like I said, the mechanics are interesting. The writing is powerful. And it's really neat to discover more and more about these characters from these little scraps. And you feel, because of the way that it's droplet fed to you, you get invested in them. Not necessarily all 60 or 70 of them, but there will be one or two that you personally are like, that guy I want to know more about, and you'll be intrigued and hooked.
Is it also as much of a critique of the interaction between technology and capitalism as it sounds?
Capitalism and putting the literal price on a human life. The technology, because it's just the hook, the little magic stopwatch.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, Sexy Bertel is half off on Steam, and was half off on the PS4 because I bought it last week.
I mean, come on. Seriously, like 90, it says here 99% like this video game.
The Obra Dinn?
On Google users.
Yeah.
It's 10 out of 10 on Steam.
Yep.
4.7 out of 5.
Yep.
It's too bad it's not 5 out of 7.
Yeah, well, you know.
And 9.2 out of 10 from IGN. Yeah.
I am not unique in saying Return of the Obra Dinn is a good game. I am also, like, this guy's 2 for 2 now. Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
So speaking of other good games, if anybody plays Dead Cells on the PC,
oh yeah, did you?
They got a huge update.
I tagged you on that. Yeah.
And it is really good.
They nerfed Death Orb.
They nerfed it.
It has a damage cap now, and then it vanishes after doing a bajillion damage instead of doing 10 bajillion damage.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten
Death Orb on my PC install of it yet, so I can't really compare. But it fixes a lot of the things that annoyed me about the game, like it kind of disincentivizes you from picking up off spec scrolls because in the current live version, monsters scale based on how many scrolls you picked up. They got rid of that.
Also, the funky disincentivization of picking up items. Right? Like anything that wasn't Death Orb, you know, like anything you picked up just diluted your odds of getting the weapons you wanted. And they got rid of that too by adding the ability to lock what you want to have drop.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, you can just say, I don't want these things to ever drop. And they just yeah, so
I
just get
part
everything.
Of the update.
Just get everything because you can customize what you want to drop, and that way you can play the way you want to play.
Yeah, well, but they haven't said when this update's going to hit, though.
Right.
You can get the alpha and the beta version if you play on PC.
Sure.
Yeah. I've been playing that today, and it's actually pretty awesome.
And they buffed the Spartan sandals.
I love Spartan sandals.
Yeah, they buffed them. Yeah.
They buffed just about everything except they nerfed Death Orb, they nerfed the Ice Bow, and they nerfed Frozen Blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those three, I mean, the Frozen Blast nerf is really pretty much inconsequential because the only change to it is that it now has 4 ammo.
Correct. And yeah, you weren't spamming it all the time anyway.
Yeah, the ice bow's slow goes away really quick now, and Death Orb got
and it goes quicker and quicker. It's just like the immobilize and stuff on bosses where they build up resistance to it. Yeah.
But so much other stuff got buffed, and the
time
mutations
doors
got,
showing up in between levels.
Yeah, is a. Also, time doors are not nearly as strong.
They're not as strong, but you don't have to find them within the level. Like, if you finish the dungeon, the first section, in X time, the door will just be openable in the untimed center area where you normally see, like, the collector and everything.
Yeah.
Instead of having to find it in the sewers.
Okay.
And so, number one, that time will count against you. And number two, you know, it's just you have to literally find it. Now it's just there.
Yeah. And also you get a, in addition to the time door, there is also a door from the prisoner's quarters into the second one. It's for killing 30 monsters without taking a hit. And for the other stages, it's for killing 60 monsters without taking a hit. And
I think that was to incentivize the curse chests. Because I know they changed curse chests to make it so the item they drop, which is colorless, is not going to have a negative.
It doesn't have it doesn't have the negative. It doesn't have the take 20% more damage.
But the hitting things also is to encourage, because when it was just time, you would just run, right? And so now instead of running, you can take your time and just be careful and explore and hit 30 things, and that reward is the same as the time door.
Yeah.
So
if you're super good, you could maybe get both.
I have done that once so far.
But in general, you either just run quickly, get the time door, or take your time and fight very efficiently and get the damage door.
I feel like Jim a little bit here. I feel like that Privateer just announced that there's a new theme force for the pirates.
Yeah.
And I just get a bonus now. Because that, honestly, when I play Dead Cells, I don't play fast. I play slow,
but
plotting.
But do you not get hit?
I'm pretty much.
Yeah, well, then these doors will be waiting for you, Andy.
I played Necromancy when Necromancy was shit. And Necromancy was shit for a while. And Charles and Megan also played Necromancy, because I was playing Necromancy then, too, back when we were playing our three-person Dead Cells runs at his place.
Yeah. And most of the weapons are now good.
Yeah,
I mean, especially like the previous game. I don't know if this was a change or not, but the multi bow is now brutality/survival. It was tactics/survival. It was pure tactics in live, isn't it?
Yeah, and
multi bow, the one with the multi shots, or what do you mean?
The bow that shoots multiple arrows at once. I know I know a couple of the crossbows are tactic survival.
Yeah,
but I don't think the double shot bow was, because it's now tactic survival. Mm.
Frontlight shield makes you literally invincible.
Yeah,
that's handy. They changed how parrying works and stuff like that.
Well, I never took shields. I would never play a parry build.
Apparently, if you were really good at parrying, the game, you just became a god.
Yeah, the assault shield, because you like parry and leap forward and nothing, and you kill everything that way. Yeah.
I really liked.
I was never good enough to do that, though.
I wanted Valmont's whip to be halfway decent. I'm hoping that they increased.
I have not gotten
the hit
that
percentage.
Yet. The lightning whip is much, much. The Lightning Whip is great now because
it was great before.
Well, okay. If you thought it was great before, it's overpowered now.
Sure.
Because the run I was on right before I left. It was my primary weapon, and I was just murdering stuff because instead of before it had like half normal DPS. Mm-hmm. Now it is not only its DPS roughly the same of a standard sword, but it also gets an automatic crit every third swing.
Oh, nice! Yeah. That whip is actually really good for being able to find secrets as well too, because it's a heat seeking whip basically.
Yeah.
The other whip that I enjoy a lot is I think it's the retching whip.
Yeah.
Because that one pulls things towards you, which interrupts their attacks. It's so good.
Yeah. No, I haven't tried the other whips yet, but I mean, so far every weapon I've tried, there's something to be said about it. I had a run that I did most of it with a broadsword. And it works well because now the broadsword, I think it's slightly faster, but the big thing is that it has a 3-hit combo and the second and third hits are crits. So it does an absurd amount of, I mean, it's still slow, but it does an absurd amount of damage.
I could see some potential chance for it. I always hated it because I always ended up getting interrupted or something would be moving out of the way when I'm going for my second swing and I'd hit or something. One thing, I think it's still available on the Steam store, not Steam store, but the PS4, is Horizon. The full-on Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that on for like $20?
Digital Deluxe is for $15.
Oh.
Oof-da.
So if you want an amazing single-player game, I haven't played it, but I just know that it's been recommended here multiple times. $15 is worth every penny of that game. I mean, yeah. So yeah, if you have a PS4, go get that damn game. It's really good. Support single player because, god damn, I don't want to have to play against kids all the time. I've seen some streamers in that are starting to stream Black Ops. What is their Battle Royale version called?
I don't know.
I have no idea. But from
all the streaming I've seen of it, it actually looks entertaining.
I mean, honestly, anymore, all first-person shooters blend together to me. I rarely see anything in any of them that stands out.
Yeah, I just don't know what the version of it is called. All I know is that their Battle Royale mode is actually pretty good.
I mean, that's kind of been the issue for the 14, 15, 16 years because, like, Counter-Strike became the biggest thing in the world, and then everything switched from the Quake-style shooters where you had over-the-top fantasy sci-fi weapons to every game your primary weapon is an assault rifle.
Sure.
And they just
or a got knife boring. You throw across the screen or across the map and then hit somebody at one-hit kills them.
God, I can't think of what the name of it was, but I just know it's been doing fairly well. Even Fortnite has taken a hit from that.
Some Blops game.
From Blops.
Blops. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Let people have their multiplayer games, I'll just not play them.
Yeah, I think the only time I've actually gotten it, a Blops game, was I called in to our radio station. Just on a whim, they're like, hey, we're going to give away Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And I'm like, sure, I'll call. Why not? I won't win. And I won. So I got a copy of it. And then a month later, I traded it for Fallout 4.
I called and I just got when I called in the radio and was caller number 10 or whatever and answered a trivia question, I got a Bucky book.
That's actually pretty decent. Yeah, to get that for free is actually really Bucky decent. Book.
Yep.
So if people don't know what a Bucky book is, it's a thing basically for Wisconsin. I'm sure other places have got something similar to it. It's a giant coupon book.
Yep.
That's
like it costs really like good. $50 to get it, but then it has like $1 billion worth of coupons in it. Yeah.
That unless you spend every day for the next year spending something from it, you'll never use that whole book.
But it does have a section, and the index even calls out which coupons are literally just get something for free with no purchase required. So those are the ones you just wander into, like William Sonoma, and be like, "Give me my free wooden spoon."
Yeah,
and then you just walk out.
You got anything in there from Samba?
This was like 5 years ago.
Oh. Well, we could probably try it anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
we
yeah.
need to have another Samba meeting. We need to.
Definitely.
I know this is not engaging content that people want to listen to us talk about, but I want to talk about.
What's another recommendation? Yeah. Brazilian steakhouses.
Yeah. Well, my recommendation was to go on your PS4 and check out your Black Friday deals and ignore all the ones that are being for buy more cash in Grand Theft Auto and buy more cash in NBA 2K.
It still annoys me that the PS4 deals, you can't sort them by what percentage off they are.
Yeah.
That'd be super handy.
Or sort them by, like, I don't want the stupid fucking the add-ons. I don't care.
Yeah,
if I do a search for Grand Theft Auto 5, I just want to bring up Grand Theft Auto 5.
And if you sort by price and do lowest to highest, you have to go through like 150 like icons and like, you know, oh, for $1 you can have a skeleton as your mascot. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Jim mentioned what it is. It's Call of Duty Blackout. That's what they're the multi-role the Royale.
Yeah. Blops. It's Blops 4.
It's Blops 4, but the Blackout is their Battle Royale multiplayer.
Sure, but isn't that all it is?
No.
There's no single player campaign, is
there?
There's
no single player, but they have standard like deathmatch.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Well, I mean,
yeah, no, I get
Battle Royales are
oh no.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Battle Royale. Whatever, fuck you. That's my stance.
I might actually try some now that I'm getting a better computer. But I'm not.
Nope. I'm getting a better computer for Cyberpunk 2077.
I'm getting a better computer so I can finally play the Warhammer game.
Oh yeah, that's the other reason I need a better computer is for
Total War.
Total War Three Kingdoms. And I might pick up Warhammer, you know, when I'm sure it's cheaper, but Three Kingdoms the one I'm waiting for.
Total Warhammer 2 is now $30 on Steam.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's completely worth it.
But I'm super excited for the Three Kingdoms one because that's my jam, so.
Yeah.
Is this a new Koei game?
No, it's Total War.
Oh, Total War in the Three Kingdoms.
Total War, there's a Three Kingdoms one. The next Total War game that's coming out is Three Kingdoms, and I think it's coming out in like February or March or something. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super excited for that because fuck yeah, I'm going to have play as the Peach Grove Brotherhood. Are you kidding me?
It sounds like just a gang.
I
don't know anything about them.
They kind of are.
I don't know anything about Three Kingdoms other than I played it back on the NES long time ago.
One of the Three Kingdoms. The kingdom that in the books is really portrayed as the good guys because the author is a distant descendant of the leader of that kingdom. So his bias was obviously there. the ruler of that kingdom and his two main generals, they basically did a blood brother oath in a peach garden, in a peach grove. And so that's a big part of their historical story.
I like peaches.
Yeah, well, I did too.
Millions of peaches.
Peaches for free. Look
millions out. Of peaches.
And then just ninja for no reason. What? It's a good video.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Do you not like the presidents
of the United States?
Not especially.
What? But they've got three good songs.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of songs no one ever heard. But the three songs that people know about are all good.
Yeah.
What are the other two? Peaches is the only one that comes to mind.
Lump.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know Lump.
Yes, but it's a terrible song.
And Mach 5.
Fuck you. I was going with Volcano. Uh-oh, Volcano. Got woofers and tweeters, whatever.
That one I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know Mach 5, though, because I will survive in my Mach 5.
Sure.
Mach 5. Yeah.
As long as I know how to love, I know I will stay alive, because I've got all my life to live and all my love to give. I will survive.
No.
It's a cake song.
Oh, I was.
Well, it's originally.
I was going to say a Gloria Gaynor song.
Yeah, I know. Cake did a remake. I think that was on Fashion Nugget. Yeah, that was definitely on Fashion Nugget.
That was the era when I. That was the era when I stopped listening to the radio.
Well, fair dinkum. Can't take that away from you.
I still listen to the radio, and They don't play presidents anymore on the radio.
Not nearly as frequently
as they should, but they don't play presidents that much. They'll still play that fucking song by "Hey Man, Nice Shot."
That's why I say "Hey Man, Nice Shot."
Filter, is it?
Was that one right. Filter? Yeah, that one was Filter.
Yeah,
because Blur is the one that had song number 5 or whatever.
Number 2.
Song number 2.
Yeah. No, the "Hey Man, Nice Shot," though. I mean, because I remember when that was the
hey
main
man
song.
Gun, "Hey Man, Have Fun."
Yeah. That was the main song that was used in a very old, pretty old movie. Is Demon Hunter.
Demon Hunter?
Huh? Is it Demon Hunter? No. Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, Demon Knight.
Demon Knight. That's what I'm thinking of. Yes, yes.
There's Demon Knight and there was Bordello of Blood.
Yeah, which did not do as well as Demon Knight did. But
it's fine.
It's, yeah. I Demon Knight is honestly like one of my favorite movies.
Didn't one of them have like Dennis Miller?
That was Bordello.
Okay.
No, Billy Zane was the main character of Demon Knight, in which he gets shot in the eye with an arrow, which is...
Well, you know, that'll happen. Hey, man, nice shot.
Yeah. God, that song is continuously played on the radio nowadays, though.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't think I've heard it.
It is. Oh, it is on
really
JGO.
The radio. I
on
normally
a
just
regular
watch
basis.
TV while driving to work.
You shouldn't watch TV when driving to work.
It's perfectly safe. Both hands are on the wheel. I just prop it up on the dashboard.
Yeah.
Is that legal in Wisconsin?
No.
No. Okay. I don't think it's legal most
As far
places.
As you know, I'm joking.
No. I'm just, I mean, this is one of those things that several states have laws against watching television while driving a car.
In reality, I just listen to podcasts and stuff. Which, although that's still distracted. Like, it's funny what percentage of being distracted actually even comes from looking at something versus talking.
Yeah.
You know, like, but whatever.
No, dude, I mean, I'm worse because half the time when I'm driving, I forget to turn the radio on, so I end up thinking about math and then get involved in trying to prove something and stop paying attention to what's in front of me, and it's terrifying.
It is. So Jim and Chad had mentioned that the Cleveland Rock song from the Drew Carey Show is from the Presidents.
But the original Drew Carey Show theme song was not.
No, I don't remember the original Drew Carey theme.
Okay. Is it just a little jaunty?
Just a ditty?
Just a little jaunty. It had lyrics, but yeah, sure. I'll play it for you after.
It's not like the Larry or the Gary Shanley Show?
No, no. It was Moon Over something.
Sure.
But no, the math thing, the building, the training rooms in my building, the three of them in a row are numbered like 12, 83, and like 61, like in a row, and no one knows why they're numbered that way. And so when I was talking to my manager about that and he mentioned it made no sense, I'm like, I'll figure out a pattern. There's got to be something there. I have not figured out a pattern yet.
12, 83, 61.
Those aren't the actual numbers. I have it written down at work because I did a lot of checking to see, you know, what possible pattern I could find that would make those fit in that order. And obviously you could just cheat and say the pattern is, oh, it's plus 71 minus 42. Plus, and it's like, okay, sure. But let's not just be that lazy about it.
It could be. I mean, if those numbers were in there from whoever built the building, it could just be a birth date.
Yeah. Well, you know, because with literally any sequence of numbers, you can just make up a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, it just has to be an extremely not asymmetrical, whatever, like, not ostentatious. What's the word I'm looking for? I'll remember soon. I'm going to stare into the distance until I remember it.
So the sad part, though, is...
I mean, this is the one you're looking... If you have a series of numbers, you can always generate a regression that hits all of them if it's of the same order as the number of points you have.
Esoteric is what I was going for.
That'll do.
Because you can easily, you know, you can always just make up a next number and justify it, right? Because even if it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 4, you can do like 100 times where the pattern's obviously just like even numbers. You can say, yeah, but this pattern is even numbers, but every 75th number you go up by 3 instead. Like, you can always just claim that. I mean, it's true.
And it can't be
disproven. Right?
Yeah, then you just post it onto Facebook and then you get a whole bunch of people that'll believe it.
Yeah, well, you know. Remember, vaccines are bad.
They are.
Yeah.
They are bad.
Earth's flat. Vaccines are bad.
I don't first flat.
Well, some people do.
Did you see the size of Pluto is about the size of Australia?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know which one of those is more inhabitable?
I don't know. I think Pluto.
That's what I was going for, yeah. Fewer spiders.
Fewer drop bears on Pluto.
To my knowledge, zero drop bears.
Yeah. Zero on anything.
One. We should shoot one drop bear to every planet just to check.
Just to check.
So if there are like xenomorphs or something there, the drop bear will take care of them for us.
Pretty much. They're indestructible.
Yeah.
Hey, don't we have a new robot landing on Mars tomorrow?
Yeah, a mole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A mole?
So yeah, it's
a digger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're digging.
How are they going to be able to keep in contact with the thing?
Because it's a robot, and it basically is going to send down a little thing to dig 16 feet under the surface.
Oh, so
and measure stuff 16 feet under the surface.
When you said mole, the robot has a pet mole that it sends down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that makes much more sense than it's like we're just going to send something to Mars, and it's just going to burrow, and then we'll just never hear from it.
Well, in theory, it could get lost. It could. Like, in theory, it would be programmed to go down and then up and then check back in, but
yeah.
Stuff can happen. It could also leave like an antenna behind on like a tether,
yeah,
and just you know leave
I've seen
a cable.
Enough movies where that will get broke.
Yeah, well, sure, obviously.
Yeah.
Also, it's not really happening because there are no planets. The entire dome is Earth is just surrounded by a Dyson sphere that the stars are in.
They're painted on the walls.
Basically, it's like just a big black sphere with the stars as just lights on it. There are no other planets.
Oh, so it's like the Truman Show.
Correct, but on a planetary scale.
Hmm. Is this what Under the Dome was implying?
No. But sure.
Okay.
It can.
First season Under Dome, good.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I will definitely say second season of Under Dome, bad. Under Dome.
Yeah.
Underdog.
I will say, though, that nobody in NASA is going to be able to sleep tonight because tomorrow, before the robot lands, there's going to be 7 minutes where they lose contact with it, and it has to rely entirely on its programming to hit the atmosphere and adjust everything and fire the thrusters to land correctly.
The way you said that, I thought you said nobody's going to sleep en masse, Massachusetts.
Oh.
And I was thinking, I was like, why would the Bostonians that excited about the...
No. No, it's that nobody sleeps at church. No.
Oh, at Mass.
Yeah.
Why do they have it on Monday morning?
Well, you know, that's why nobody's sleeping there.
That makes no sense.
Exactly. I mean, he's from Keswick, but he's living on Endor. Doesn't make sense. Does not make sense.
No.
No.
In law school, they actually talk about Chewbacca defense now. That's a generic term they have for a non-topical defense that is being used just to confuse the jury.
What?
Are you not following me?
No.
This was back from when South Park was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when South Park was good.
Yeah.
There was the trial, and the attorney used the Chewbacca defense, which was like, so the trial was about Cartman punched Token.
Okay.
And so they were debating whether it was a hate crime because Token's black.
Sure.
And Carmen's like, no, I'll just punch anybody, whatever. But it doesn't matter. So this was the thing. And the attorney, was his defense that they brought up was...
What's his name? The O.J. Simpson lawyer.
Clarence Darrow, but that's the wrong
Johnny,
one.
Cochran.
Johnny Cochran, yeah.
So he comes in and he says, you know, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Chewbacca is an 8-foot Wookiee, but he lives on Endor with all the little Ewoks. And that just doesn't make sense. So you have to acquit my client. Because it doesn't make sense that Chewbacca would live on Endor.
And one of the members of the jury's head explodes after he goes on. He goes on for a couple of minutes about Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And there's a head explosion, and then the jury acquits because they have no idea how to respond to that.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's an actual thing now in law school is they talk about Chewbacca defenses.
Chewbacca defense? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it's a thing, for right or for wrong, like you can just throw some shit out there, you know, and be like, blah blah blah, and if the juries can pick whatever they want for whatever reason they want.
Because as it turns out, if you're in a jury trial, you're not actually trying to convince the judge; you're trying to convince 12 random dudes.
I mean, it's just like legal or not, jury nullification will always be a thing.
Yeah,
like you can prove with zero doubt that somebody is guilty. They can confess it. They can stand up in the middle of the court and say, yeah, I stabbed that guy 50 times, and I'm glad I did it. And if the jury just doesn't want him to go to jail, they can just acquit him.
Yeah.
They don't have to find someone guilty just because they are guilty.
Yep.
So if you can confuse them with a Chewbacca defense, sure. True story.
Yep.
Cool. Do we have anything else?
Have you ever served on a jury?
No, I can't.
You can't?
Nope. The whole violent felon thing.
Oh.
So, you know, I got that going for me.
I was on a jury once. I knew. It was kind of hilarious.
I've never made it to that stage. Generally, either my past as a... I'm a son of a cop, so...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That generally doesn't bode well.
Well, plus it's just not worth being on a jury, so just don't. Like, and if they call you for jury duty, just be like, oh, I don't like that race that the defendant is. I think they're terrible. And then you don't have to be on a jury. Like, it's pretty easy to not be on a jury.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, too, is most of the time when you get called for a jury case, it's not what you expect to see out of, like, Law and Order and, like, some big, huge thing in that. It's going to be long, boring hours.
Yeah, it's like having to go to the DMV for a month.
Yeah.
You know, and
for little to no pay.
This guy broke my fence.
It's like,
I'm the jury every day when I watch Judge Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah. My trial was workers' comp fraud, and it was hilarious. Because at some point they had this guy who was on full disability, he ended up getting in trouble because the woman that handed him his check at the disability office also went to his gym and noticed him exercise, working out and doing CrossFit level stuff. And it came out kind of later that she probably wouldn't have said anything except, A, he was an asshole, and B, he was constantly hitting on her at the disability office.
So, A, he was an asshole, and B, he was an asshole.
Yeah. And it's like, it was like, 1A, he was an asshole, 1B, this is how he demonstrated it. But so they had a guy working for the county to do surveillance, and I mean just set up cameras in the gym and stuff, and so they had pictures of the guy in full disability bench pressing like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
but his legs don't work.
I was going to say, if his disability is a bad hip, you can bench press anything.
Oh, I mean, he was doing other he was doing the full suite of exercises. But so the defense spent 3 days trying to get the surveillance footage thrown out because it wasn't done by a professional, that it was an amateur. That it was an amateur that did the surveillance, because it was just this guy that volunteered for the county. And I mean, he was a retiree. He volunteered to do stuff for the county, so he set up the surveillance and got the camera. And the defense kept trying to get the judge to throw it out because it was done by an amateur. And then the district attorney called the guy in that did the surveillance. They said, like, yeah, what's your name, so and so? And it's like, you did this surveillance? Yes. I said, did you get paid for it? No. I said, I volunteer my time for the county. I said, well, why do you do that? And said, because I'm retired and I don't have a whole lot to do. I said, well, what did you do before you were retired? Well, I worked at the FBI and I trained FBI agents in surveillance technology.
But so, I mean, a picture is a picture. It doesn't matter who's really behind the camera. I mean, it may be the quality of the picture.
I know, but I mean, that was...
But that doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't matter who took the picture. The picture is still a picture.
If you're fucked because of a picture, you will argue anything you can to get that picture thrown away.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing. That it was like, this guy's an amateur. He's not a professional. You can't trust the video. And the guy's like, yeah, I trained FBI agents how to do this. And yeah. I'm bored, so I do it for free now. But yeah, that was just kind of, it's like then they spent 3 days arguing about that, and then they entered that into evidence, and then everybody just watched the video and was like, okay, this is kind of over at this point.
It does bother me though, when I watch my judge shows, on a regular basis, that there's an exorbitant amount of them that are on some type of disability or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they're just getting free stuff from.
You'd be amazed how much insurance fraud there is going on with the disability and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they can catch you just because people don't understand like how the body works. So one of the most common things people will claim is a bad back. right? Sure. Let's say I have a bad back. And so as part of that back, you know, the doctor will be like, you know, touch your toes. I'm like, oh, I totally can't because it hurts my back. And then they'll have you lay down and they'll say, okay, lift your right leg. And you lift your right leg. Well, guess what? That's the exact same muscles.
Nope.
You are touching your toes, but you were rotated 90 degrees.
Sure, sure, yeah.
So, oops. Because I can tell you from when I actually had a bad back, is it is the same fucking muscle. But that's what they do. Like, they're smart with investigating because they try to do little innocuous things that the faker won't realize is the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's how they catch them in the physicals.
Hey, that was like when my father was in a physiology PhD program during Vietnam. His advisor, a general, came up to his advisor and said, "Oh, we think all these people are cheating on their vision and hearing tests. So it's like, can you determine if they're cheating?" And his advisor said, "Yeah, I can do it." And so he figured out a way to do it. And what he did was he took a bunch of people that were coming in for their hearing test and were saying they couldn't hear the sound. And he put a small electrode on their hand and he would play the sound and then shock them. And then he would also measure their heart rate. And so he'd play the sound and shock them, and then play the sound and shock them. And then the third time he'd play their sound and just watch their heart rate. And if they could hear it, their heart rate would go up
because
they were anticipating the sound. And so he did this. And my dad said, the guy, and he said he just did this to prove that he could do it. And then he went back to the general and told the general to go fuck himself because he wasn't going to be involved with it. But they just wanted to make sure it was clear that the reason he said no was because he didn't want to be involved with it, not that he couldn't do it.
Well, good job wasting a bunch of time and money.
Yeah.
I was talking to Vietnam.
And I was going to say,
I was talking to Vietnam.
Do you not know what war is? Yeah. It is a lot of waste of time and money and lives, unfortunately.
Hey, you know, since 9/11, we've spent like, what, $6 trillion now? But, you know, can't afford health care.
No. And
that's too expensive.
We can't afford our education either.
No, too expensive.
Our roads.
Roads. Too expensive, damn it. Well, it is too expensive because we need all that money because we spent $6 trillion murdering brown people.
Yep. So, true recommendations. Anybody got
my recommendation was a true recommendation.
I will recommend.
It's good.
I will recommend Into the Breach. Which is a it is.
I think you did this one.
Did I?
Yep, I'm almost guaranteed that you did.
Okay,
but go ahead. Sorry.
If I have recommended it before, okay. But yeah, Into the Breach. It is a game that is available on Switch and Steam, and it is by the same team that did FTL, and it is basically a. So it looks a lot like a tactical RPG, except it's really more of a puzzle game on a grid that looks like a tactical RPG.
Because it's a tactical RPG, except that the encounters are completely scripted and set in stone, and that's where the puzzle aspect comes from. It's figuring out what to do.
I mean, it's not because the emphasis isn't necessarily on the individual individual combats. It's every turn you've got to stop very discreet things from happening, and killing the bugs is one of the ways you can do that. But it's really more around just having this tight pool of resources and stopping the bugs from destroying everything.
Yep. Yeah, no, you may have recommended that before, but it is a good game worth mentioning again, especially during a Steam sale.
Yep.
All right, so I already said my recommendation is go on your PS4, check out your Black Friday sales, go pick up Horizon Zero Dawn for $15, because that game is worth it.
And if you're playing Dead Cells on the PC, switch over to the Alpha branch and check out the new stuff, because the new build is a lot better, in my opinion.
I'm intrigued for when that build actually goes live. I know they haven't said specifically when, but I'm excited.
I played so my brother came and visited, and I wish I had bought a MAGA hat and had him wear it and took a picture with him to drive my Facebook friends insane, because, you know, because my brother is only slightly left of center versus the insanely far left of Karl Marx that I am. He looks like a Republican when he debates me online.
When he compares to you, yes.
Yeah, you add further right plus is a Hoffman and thus loves to argue, and it makes him look like everyone on my Facebook just assumes he's a Trump voting MAGA hat wearing like libertarian, and it's hilarious because he's really not. But anyway, he came and visited. We had a lot of fun. He brought his niece and nephew, and we played a bunch of board games. And one of the board games we played will be my second recommendation because we got time to kill. This was a short episode. Yeah. We played the Expanse board game.
Okay, yeah.
Which was really good. I know you watched the show, right?
I watched the show, but I avoided the game because I heard, actually, I think from Brian that you said that there were spoilers in it.
Yeah, I mean, I could say that, like, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, like, the cards have characters' names. It's kind of like playing the Battlestar Galactica game.
Correct.
Like, the fact that there's a card that talks about a fuel shortage, okay. So I guess at some point in the show there's a fuel shortage. Okay, like it's not mad. Like they don't show a main character being shot in the face, you know. Like sure. that's not a thing in there.
They don't make graphic cards like that.
One of the factions in the game, one of its special abilities is a biological weapon that wipes out an entire planet. So that might be a spoiler. But
well, I mean that's yeah. Thanks, Nathan. Whatever. I'll never watch the show.
Okay, I mean I did just ask if you watched the show and you said yes, so that doesn't work as a threat.
Well, the final part of this last season,
yeah,
is when the door opened.
Basically. I don't even know what that means. Okay. So, and I played the game, so I can tell you the spoilers must not be that big because I have no clue what the hell you're talking about. But it's neat because it combines a lot of interesting mechanics that are in a lot of board games. So it has like a drafting row where there's like five cards that are up and, mm-hmm. and the one that's furthest is zero and then 1, 1, 2, 2, 3 or whatever to buy the card. And then as you buy a card, the rest slide down. So over time, the cards that are further away become cheaper. But if you really want it now, you can pay the extra to grab it now. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's got that mechanic, which you'll see in stuff like Through the Ages or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a very common mechanic. And it also has another mechanic I love, which is a card when you take it has an event and then on the bottom – or it has just a numerical value on the top that you can use to do just generic actions, like buying troops and moving stuff around. And so things like Twilight Struggle or Making of a President or Hannibal versus Carthage, that's a mechanic that's also been around for a while. And it also has the neat thing where, like, in most of them are two-player games that have this card. I think this is the first one I've seen that isn't just a two-player game with it. But like in Twilight Struggle, it's a Cold War game. So if I'm playing against David mm-hmm. and I'm America and he's Russia – and I pick up a card that has an American event, I can either take the four action points or I can do the event.
Sure.
But if I pick up a card that's a Russian event, I get the action points, but he still gets the event. I can't deny him that event. It okay. will trigger for him if I take it for the action points. Or if there's one with a generic event, whoever takes it can choose to use it. But so the fact that the event will still trigger for your opponent if you take the cards, you have a choice whether the points are worth it to you is a really neat mechanic. The Expanse of the first game I've seen with that wasn't just two players, so there's four factions, and each event is functional in between two to four people. And if you take one that you don't use for an event, the other people who can use it can choose to trigger the event, and they get dibs in like an order that adjusts throughout the game. Mm-hmm. And so that's another cool little mechanic is choosing how high to be on that order to trigger the secondary events.
Cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Is it one you own already?
No, my brother had it, although I did immediately add it to my Amazon wish list. I checked with Brian, because Brian's usually my overlap with board games. And I said, Brian, do you have the Expanse? He said, no, so I'll get it. I'll either get it for Christmas or I'll buy it afterwards. It was good. And it's one of those games that has that like 4X, you know, the explore and fight and everything, but you can play in like an hour as opposed to being like the bigger, burlier ones.
I would recommend watching the Expanse. Yeah.
The crew of the Rocinante is in there. Whoever's in last place gets them to help. Them catch up. They're like super powerful. Like having the Rocinante on your side is gigantic.
Yeah, that's and pretty so much how it goes. With
each
all the
scoring
factions.
Phase, whoever is losing, they're like, here, have the Rocinante. They'll help you out because they always help the underdog.
That's pretty much how it is in the show.
Yep,
the show is probably one of the best shows I've seen on Sci-Fi in a long time.
You mean on Syfy?
But it's not on Sci-Fi anymore. It actually got canceled.
Wah wah.
And now it's on Amazon, I believe. Sure, picked it up. We do have a couple of Zappity Grumbles.
Oh, yeah. And I think there was one at the very beginning of chat as well from Jim.
Jim, yep.
Jim.
So here, this is from Sean. What are you doing?
His microphone was like shoving through his static guard. It was bugging me.
His pop filter.
Yeah. It's still.
Yeah, you're
not, I don't think they work right if it's touching the microphone.
You're not supposed to massage the bump. No.
It looked like the TV in Videodrome where it's just like coming through.
I haven't seen Videodrome. But that's you know. Would you rather have an extra set of smaller set of arms? Would you rather have an extra smaller set of arms under your current arms, or a fully prehensile tail to help you with your daily life?
I'll take the arms.
Do you want T-Rex arms? Or do you want a tail?
Well, I mean, how smaller is smaller?
I would assume, like, T-Rex size. Probably something that would be about the same, like, out to, like, your elbow.
So it'd be more handy. That would hold things more than manipulate things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, shit. I mean, if I could hold my laptop with the second arms and then use the.
I think you'd hold with the big arms and type with the small arms because the typing would be here.
So either way, I mean.
And most of us, we have the flap that's right there that you can just stick the laptop right there.
Yeah, pass like the pencil test where you. Yeah. I'm going with tail either way.
I think tail would be my choice as well.
If it was Goro style full arms, maybe. But even then, I still might go tail. And with that in mind, that means I'm definitely going tail once you make them less than fully functional arms.
Yeah, I have a harder time trying to find long sleeve shirts and then trying to find long sleeve shirts that would fit four arms.
I mean, you're going to need a tailor one way or the other.
Tailor.
That's tailor? If you have a tail, but not if you have the arms.
Yeah, then you need armor.
Yeah.
Well, you could. Prehensile, but it also needs to be strong enough to, like, I want to be able to hang by it.
Okay, if you can hang by it.
It can't just tear out from the root if I do that. Like, it needs to be able to carry my own weight. Like, I go to pick up a bowling ball and it just rips off. No, thank you. It has to be strong enough to hold my own weight. Then I'm definitely all about the
tail. You're
going
to have to lose some weight.
Fuck you.
Well, I was the same way, too, and I chose tail.
I just want a strong tail.
Bigger tail, then, yeah.
It's a tail that's just basically like a sock full of bowling balls. Just because of all the muscles in it.
No. I mean, maybe.
All right. Davity. What video game villain do you think has the best justification for their actions? Justification doesn't mean they're right.
Well, sure. If justification doesn't mean they're right, then you can just be like, well, the Joker's crazy, and that justifies everything because he's crazy. Yeah. But he's still wrong, right? Yeah. Like, so it's a fine line where justification has to have some level of correctness as well. Yeah.
I swear most of these questions from Jim involve a lot more discussion. It'd be something that we should probably post in our group chat.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can think about it during the week and actually have an intelligent discussion about said thing.
I tend to, when, so one that off, this isn't a video game, but a good example that we'll all be familiar with is somebody like Gorshade, okay? Where there is an imbalance, there is a disease, for lack of a better term, in the world, and they're doing some monstrous thing that will force it to be corrected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Gorshade killing all of the gods to like reset the whole soulless issue.
Sure.
Like he's a villain, but he might be right, you know? Like, because he isn't just like completely off base. Like they don't overtly say he's for sure right in the War Machine mythos. Like he could be wrong, but he's not definitely wrong.
Well, I mean, right? didn't they kind of come out and say that, yeah, he was right because one of the goddess he was going to kill said, yeah, you're in the right path. So she resurrected him and made him her champion.
Right. So that kind of a thing is interesting to me. Like, for example, in Final Fantasy VII, where...
Kefka?
No, that's six. Where Sephiroth is going to strike the Earth with meteor, mm-hmm. so that the Earth will defend, well, not Earth, whatever they call the planet, but you know, he's going to strike itself. It with meteor, so it'll defend itself and heal itself, and that's going to undo pollution. It's going to undo corruption. It's going to clean and purify. It's like a cleansing of the toxins from a body, but for the planet.
Yep.
That's actually really good. Although then he goes to a second level where he's going to intercept the healing power and steal it all for himself and become a god. That's where he becomes a villain again. But the his claimed thing, that's I can get on board with that. Like, it's an expensive thing to do as far as the personal cost, but it is provably for the greater benefit. Shrug. So that'll usually get me to at least see things from your point of view, even if I still say it's too much of a cost and you're wrong.
No. Yeah. I mean, I guess most of the villains in the Dark Souls series that kind of qualify there is that a lot of those that have enough of a story to talk about, like the king in Dark Souls 2 was just did horrible things to try to stop the hollowing from destroying everything.
Sure. Well, I guess, yeah, then the lone wanderer from Diablo 2, before he actually fully succumbs and becomes Diablo, was attempting to hold that power and protect the world. He just wasn't strong enough to do it.
Yeah.
The company that was researching Powers of Hell in Doom, they were kind of trying to do a right thing of just using power from hell to power machines and such as a new
clean
resource.
Renewable energy is an admirable aspect and an admirable goal.
Yeah, just went a little astray.
Yeah. Oh, and so the greater villain is the one who caused it to go astray, because that was a specific person.
It was Hater, was it?
It was the chick, not the robot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So the company, you can understand what they were trying to do, but then individuals within it fucked everything up.
Correct. I love that Doom series. I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah.
I started playing it again. So. And then. What?
Just that whole sentence there was great. And then
I'm tired still.
I was just amused by that.
What movie villain do you find? Fuck, can I not read? What movie villain do you find to actually be right that isn't Killmonger?
Oh, that isn't Killmonger. So Jim's all about the what villains do you agree with on here today, isn't he?
Yeah.
I went first last time. Somebody else say something while I think.
I don't do well in these type of situations. Well,
okay. How about the head of OCP in?
Oh yeah, RoboCop. RoboCop.
In the new RoboCop.
2015. Yeah. 2014.
What about the guy that did literally nothing immoral or illegal until the movie randomly makes him a mustache twirling villain in the last 20 minutes because they realized they needed him to be evil for RoboCop to kill him.
Yeah, the one that was trying to save RoboCop's family from RoboCop, because RoboCop goes into weird psychotic episodes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they made him weird.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
God, yeah. That fucking movie.
Yeah. Well, it was, I mean, that whole movie was wrong from the get-go. I mean, it wasn't a military company that was making parts for OCP. You know, they weren't a military company, and that's what they were trying to establish them as a military company. No, they were just a private company that was selling things to the military.
Yeah.
In the original RoboCop.
Well, and just stuff in the, like, everything about the new RoboCop, all the things that they have happen in there that happened in the original one, so it's like the same story beats, but for some reason they changed the whys just enough to make it so that the bad guys never do anything wrong. And it's like, why did you make these tweaks? Why did you change these things? Why did you have him get permission from RoboCop's wife to make them into RoboCop instead of just finding a corpse?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you tell him his true identity immediately and reintroduce him to his family instead of lobotomizing him and using him as just a central processing unit, and then having him rediscover his identity be the whole core of the film.
Did you not watch the original movie and realize that his family had nothing to do with him?
They thought he was dead.
Yeah, they thought he was dead. And they moved. They were gone.
But like,
and just
all these little changes just change all of the character motivation, which can be fine. It can be fine except at all the motivation they'd made changes to cause there to be no villain, which is also fine. Because then you can have like a deep thing about who's right, who's wrong. Everybody's got some justification until the moment that you just have him twirl his mustache and say, kill them all. And then your movie just can fuck itself.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, the go-to example is that Gaston from the animated Beauty and the Beast is not, but he's not right because he also like falsely imprisons an innocent man to blackmail that man's daughter into a forced marriage. Like,
but that's you how can things argue, were done back then.
You can argue Stockholm Syndrome all you want. Mm-hmm. Gaston is not a good person. They are both bad people at the very worst. Like, meh.
Yeah.
Did I stall long enough? Do you have a movie villain?
I'm still trying to think of a good one that was actually.
I'm going to go with the villain from RoboCop 2014. I mean, that's one I can think of right now. It'd be something I would have to just, I feel like I have to do more research into.
Yeah.
I'm not good at things on the fly like that.
Yeah. Well, and then there's a lot of movies where the whole point of it is that the villain is, you know, sacrificing the few for the good of the many and whether or not that's justifiable.
I don't know.
Extreme Measures, was that the one? Extreme Measures or Desperate Measures, where who's the guy that stopped act? Who was Lex Luthor in the old ones?
Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm. Gene Hackman was a surgeon who was working on a cure for cancer and was like legit almost there. Like this guy was gonna cure cancer like within the next 5 years, but to do it, he was just kidnapping homeless people and just vivisecting them. He was just like butchering random people. And he's like, yeah, sure, it's evil. But A, no one cares. They're just going to die of heroin overdoses within the next year anyway. And B, I've killed 1,000 people. I'm going to cure cancer. Isn't it worth it? And so then you get the whole you're a murderer / you know, et cetera. And so those can be interesting. Also, Chad said the Bugs in Starship Troopers don't count because they're not the villains. We are. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we definitely are wrong. So Starship Troopers does not have a villain who's in the right because the humans are totally wrong in that movie.
I was going to say, I have seen a lot of people say that Dr. Strangelove was the villain in Dr. Strangelove, and I strongly disagree with that.
There is no villain in Dr. Strangelove.
Jack D. Ripper is the villain.
The Cold War is the villain. I mean, the whole situation is the villain. Ripper is the fuse that ignites the powder keg, but... I mean, or maybe he's the spark, but why was the fuse there in the first place?
That's fair, but I mean, Ripper, to my mind, was the main antagonist. Strangelove was just... I don't understand why I've seen a lot of people say that Strangelove was a villain in the movie.
Nothing in the movie makes him a villain. Yeah, you're right that if you had to pick a standard style antagonist in Dr. Strangelove, it is Jack the Ripper. But that's like... Somebody builds a giant pile of explosives next to an orphanage and then lays a fuse out there and then just like a couple years later, a random lightning strike causes the fuse to light. I mean, is it really the villain? I mean, it's what killed everybody, but...
Nick mentioned the Illuminati office from Cabin in the Woods. I mean, technically, they're sending people off to be sacrificed for the greater good to stop the Elder Gods.
They're a good example of what I was talking about. Yeah. So again, it's an interesting discussion whether they are actually villains or not. The other interesting discussion that I saw recently, not really recently, actually, it was a while ago, but it's recently enough that it counts as recently, so fuck you, was an article talking about the reason that the Illuminati office fails in Cabin in the Woods. Like, obviously, the literal reason is that they failed to kill the stoner.
The last girl.
The stoner. Well, they failed to kill the stoner, is why he then saves her and everything goes terrible. Because she doesn't have to die. Once her death is optional.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
so it's the stoner not dying that caused them to fail. But the actual reason that they failed is that he's not the fool and she's not the virgin. She's the fool and he's the virgin. And because they fucked up and didn't realize that, their plan was backwards. And they could have killed her at any time and been fine because the sacrifice counts for the fool, not the virgin. But they just assumed gender, right? But she's sexually active and failing in school, and he's super smart and can't get laid. But they don't see that.
Sure.
So it was an interesting article.
Yeah, and Chad is asking if the Elder Gods are actually villains. I mean, it's their planet. I mean, technically, it's...
Jaws a villain just because he's eating people?
No.
He's just a shark.
He likes to eat people.
The Elder Gods are just Elder Gods.
No, I would argue that Jason Statham is almost a villain in Meg.
Because he's trying to kill an endangered species?
Well, I mean, it's kind of some of the actions that he puts into place that ends up unleashing the Meg.
I mean, I haven't seen the Meg because it looked terrible.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good for a Jason Statham
punching
a shark film.
Does he punch a shark?
Isn't it like the size of a whale?
Yeah.
He punches it anyway, though.
Yeah.
Does it help?
Yeah.
How can it help?
The reason we have to watch it now.
Like, he has to, like, is he wearing, like, a robotic suit?
For that, no.
Sure. Okay.
When Charles and I went to go see it. We actually went to go see it twice.
It's been like if a hamster punched me. Like, how much good can it do?
Oh.
Sure.
You have to watch the Meg.
Okay. It's like when Resident Evil like 5 or something where I couldn't think it's Chris Redfield like actually like works the body on like a 70-ton boulder and it works.
Oh my god.
Like there's a quick time event where he has to get this giant boulder out of the way and he literally just starts punching it and he like starts doing little uppercuts like to the lower path of the boulder like working the body on somebody. It's like, what the hell?
Are you talking about the actual game okay?
Yeah, it's a cutscene in the game.
I was introduced yesterday to Titus laughing. Yeah, that was a very disturbing sequence.
Resident Evil 5, Chris Redfield versus Boulder. Yep.
I didn't play Resident Evil 5 at all. I heard it was horrible. And 6, sure, I heard it was horrible as well.
Like I said, he's legit. Like, he doesn't punch it like jabs. He's doing little half undercuts. Like when you've got your arm around somebody and you're just working the body with little rabbit punches. Oh, no, rabbit punches at the back of the head. Yeah. Like,
No, just rabbit punches are just quick
yeah.
punches. They're,
yeah, they they're little. He's doing like little gut rabbit punches to the boulder to get it out of the way because
that's how
what Japanese people think a tough American guy is.
Yeah.
All right. More.
Nope, that was it. Other than the one that was way up here.
Scrolling's for the week.
Scrolling is for the week.
It's going to be another villain. What do you recognize? Nope, never mind. In a tabletop RPG, would you rather play a long-running campaign or a run of one-shots, and why?
Long-running campaign, because you have more time to appreciate your character and the interplay between characters in the group.
Well, so my super preference would be a long-running campaign of semi-unrelated one-shot events. Yeah. Like, for example, in Shadowrun, you would play like a group of mercenaries, and you can have little one- or two-session missions, but your characters are full on thing, versus having a year and a half of chasing after one villain.
Yeah. In fact, that was one of the things I regretted when I moved to Madison. I was in a long-running D&D group, and my character was just about to have his heel face turn, and I moved like 2 weeks before it would have happened. Yeah, that was sad.
A really good middle ground would be to do like the little unrelated, just like dungeon runs or mission, depending on what, you know, RPG you're doing, just a whole bunch of little unrelated missions. But then you can also scatter like either in between or a little element within each of them where it turns out that there is an overarching big bad. It's kind of like a good season of Buffy, where like in the 20 episodes, like 15 of the episodes are completely unrelated to the villain, but there'll be 5 scattered through. And that way it's not everything.
Chad says that thing Nathan just said was what he meant by one shots. If that's the case, then I don't really have a strong opinion there because to me campaign is continuity of characters with the players playing, not necessarily continuity of the same villain and goals.
Right. Like not every session has to be in that same storyline.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking of one shots, I'm thinking of like literally sitting down and doing like a dungeon adventure that's pre-told, that you're playing characters that are made specifically for that adventure. And
yeah.
No, I put him on the bench.
No, but yeah, just little unrelated things. And a good GM will combine those two. They'll do, like I said, like the season of Buffy, where you'll have like, oh, look, here's a random cave. Let's explore it. And that was fun. And then next week you get back to, oh, here's the villain.
Do you remember that book that you found?
The book you found in the cave. Yeah. Turns out it was related to this thing you found in this other one last year. And you can tie them all together eventually. But I don't need just every event to be a solid, contiguous adventure where it never deviates from the path and it's all in one quest. That would get boring to me.
Yeah.
But you'd have to, like, just... that's not a natural thing to do. You'd have to try to make a game be like that.
I've played in adventures like
that.
Really? Yeah. I had a...
Fuck that.
Brian and I, we had a DM that was very you go out, you kill monster, you get treasure. You go out, you kill monster, you kill treasure. Or you kill treasure and you get monster.
Sure.
Which is actually what we did for an adventure.
That can happen. You can kill treasure and get a monster. D&D's weird.
But it was a Monty Hall campaign, so all of us were just extremely powerful characters. And
to mention my son's favorite stuffed animal is his mimic.
Good.
But we decided to go... completely the opposite direction wherever Matt was going to try to take us for that adventure, where we ended up convincing a fire. We were battling two fire giants, and we convinced one of the fire giants after we cast an oil slick and pushed him off a cliff. and then we caught him with a webbing, and we convinced him successfully that his buddy up there pushed him off the cliff.
Sure,
because he wanted power, and so we ended up having a fire giant with us to lead or to help out, which originally all Matt wanted us to do was kill fire giants.
Sure.
And then he also let us have like this giant thing where like a whole bunch of other giants were going to fight it. And I had a character who could fly. So I just taunted them and just ran away. Giants chased me. And then I could turn invisible. That's how we pushed them off the cliff in the first place. But then I turned invisible and flew back, and, you know, giants are off going that way. And he's, you know, we're just finding different ways to defeat his encounters.
Sure. Yeah.
Which were creative and fun. And that's how I feel D&D should be like. It shouldn't just be action, treasure, loot, and, work in the meta with your character to see how many dice you can get if you do a backstab with a cannon.
Well, that's fine, but that's not... because you were saying that it was like the continuous campaign thing, but this doesn't sound like that. This seems like the opposite.
It was against one certain character.
The entire time?
The entire time. All eventually leading to a confrontation with his one character.
See, the one time I played in a campaign that was going to be like that, it was, you know, you have the group, and you have your DM or whatever, or, you know, GM, because DM's technically D&D specific, so if you're playing something else, you're game master, GM, whatever. And you always have, like, the one guy in the group that he wants to be GM too. And so you're like, fine, okay, you can do it this time or whatever. And so it was in high school, and my buddy Dave was going to get to be GM. And so he's doing his first session, and we meet this guy, like, and he's, like, obviously doing the villain thing, like, mwahaha. And we're like, oh, this guy's going to be the big villain. So I just shot him in the face. And so his first failure as a GM was having us meet the villain that soon because he wanted to set him up as like being this rival.
Sure.
And the second thing was allowing me to touch my dice. And the third thing was making it work.
Sure.
Because like he put it out there. Like he didn't hide things behind a thing. And so as soon as I shot him, I just killed this guy. And then that was the end of what would have been one of those campaigns.
Yeah.
So it was a half a session long, but it was going to be like 100 sessions of just this one asshole.
My first DM experience involved Brian and Chris as well, and I was doing it in the Darksun realm, but I just let them have some extra powers for psionics, in which both of them ended up rolling for it, I believe, and they ended up both getting teleportation. So I let them into a magic shop, and they're like, oh, look at this, it's a +4 sword. And then they teleport out with the sword.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays, I know how to stop that. You know,
you'd be like, oh, it turns out there's an anti-teleportation field.
Correct, or some kind of anti-psionic field. But at the time, you just went,
Yep. And that pause was enough for them to know they gotten away with it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's saying, like, any seasoned GM would have just had the guy, like, be, you know what, make him stronger. All of a sudden, he can actually catch a bullet, right? And, oh, my God, this guy can catch bullets or do something.
Yep.
Nope. I just, like, shot him. Roll the dice. Yeah, he's dead.
DM just rolls a die behind the screen. It's like, oh no, you somehow missed him, even though you rolled a 20.
Yeah. Wah,
wah, but yay. All right. Packer game's going on now.
What?
They're probably already losing.
More importantly, we padded out to a good 90 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. Or a bad 90 minutes.
It's probably a bad 90 minutes.
Technically 90 minutes.
Yeah. But our new studio, I'm not sure. We might actually go through a small lapse of podcasts. We might try to record on a different day or
you
something.
Know what you could have done, actually? It didn't occur to me until this morning. I was watching somebody talking about how terrible some movie was on the internet, because I watch a lot of those things. And he doesn't do any green screen stuff, so I think it's just a coincidence. But he was like talking about something. He's in his living room, and one of the walls behind him is the green screen color.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, you could just get a bucket of paint, and that's green screen.
Yeah,
you don't need an easel. You don't need an do-hanger. You don't need a cloth. You can just paint that green.
Yeah, but this room is going away.
Well, sure, but I mean in general, like, you know,
sure.
Like, you don't need a drop cloth.
I already have it though. It's already downstairs.
You're already downstairs.
No, I'm not. All right, thanks guys for watching, listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Hopefully, I think everyone's gonna be here.
As far as I know.
All right, sweet.
I mean, I could die.
No.
Not saying it's the preferred event, but...